As we continue on that journey today, we're going to take a look at a little story in Mark's gospel, and it's about bread. Fitting on a day when we come to the table to partake of the bread. Hear this story from the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They, the disciples, discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still see and not understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, now how many basketful of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. Then Jesus said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Will you pray with me for a moment? Gracious God, we simply ask that your Holy Spirit would pour out upon us now and give us some ears to make sense of these words so that we may indeed understand the mystery of the bread. We ask this all in your name. Amen. One day a man came upon another man standing on the edge of a bridge. And it looked like this man was about to jump off the side of the bridge. So the one man ran up to him and said, Hey, it's really going to be okay. There's no need to jump over. What's the matter?" And he said, "Well, there's no sense to any of this. I'm just going to end it all here." Well, the man said, are you a person of faith?" And he said, well, "Yeah, I am." He says, are you a Christian?" And he said, Well, yeah, I am. And he said, "Well, are you Lutheran or are you Methodist?" And he said, "Well, I'm Methodist." And he says, "Well, so am I. Are you a person who brings a covered dish or a dessert tray to the potluck?" And he says, "Well, I'm a covered dish person." And he said, "Are you red Jell-O salad or green Jell-O salad?" And the man said, "Well, I'm green Jell-O." And he said, "Are you marshmallows on top or no marshmallows at all?" And he says, "I'm no marshmallows." At which point the man went over and dumped him off the side of the bridge and said, "You heretic." You know, an exercise in missing the point sometimes, right? And the church, if we're honest, folks, we're guilty of it more than we care to admit. Sometimes it's an exercise in missing the point. Sometimes we think that the idea of church is to make everybody look like us or believe like us or talk like us or experience Christianity or God's spirit or community in the same way that we do. And so we feel like the whole religious experience is to get people uniform, to be all one, all of the same kind. And like the joke, we miss the point that the job of the church is to save people's lives. The job of the church is to give people hope. That the job of the church is to remind people that there is a reason not to jump. To stick around for one more day. Not to try to convince people to be like us. So often the church is an experience in missing the point. And here is Jesus with his disciples, and he's wondering, have they missed the point? We pick up this story in the 8th chapter of Mark, and it alluded to 2 other feedings that happened earlier. Remember, Jesus says, "Don't you remember when I fed the 5,000? Don't you remember when I fed the 4,000? You remember those stories in the gospel, don't you? The first story in Mark, the feeding of the 5,000, Mark 6. Jesus is out. The crowds come. They are hungry people. They are people with pain on their heart. And it says that Jesus has compassion for the crowds. Compassion in the Greek means it hurt in his stomach. He didn't just feel sorry for them. He felt for them. He felt pain for them. And so he turned to his disciples and said, guess what? We need to feed them. And the disciples said, how are we going to feed them? We don't got enough to feed them. And Jesus said, tell them to sit down and bring to me what you have. And they brought to him the few loaves that they had. And suddenly Jesus said, well, pass out what you have to the others. And suddenly there was enough for everyone to eat. And not only was there enough to eat, when they went back, there were 12 baskets of leftovers. You know, I like the way that some biblical scholars have interpreted that text, saying that when Jesus sat them down and the disciples reached in their pockets and took out the few loaves that they had, everybody said, well, if they're willing to share, I'm willing to share what I have too. And suddenly the miracle of sharing is what took place. Everybody added their little piece. And suddenly there was enough. I don't know about you, but whenever we went on a road trip, my mom had a purse with enough food in there to feed a small army. Right? And so there were a few moms out there with their purse full of, juice boxes and goldfish and graham crackers. And, oh yeah, we're pointing at Wendy over here, right? That maybe the miracle of the loaves was the miracle of the sharing. It's funny that two chapters later, there's another story. This time, Jesus feeds 4,000 people. The difference that isn't immediately seen in the text, though, is that this crowd was a different crowd than the first crowd. You see, what we see when Jesus feeds the second crowd, he's no longer in his home turf. He's no longer among his own people. Jesus has crossed to the other side of the lake. And on the other side of the lake, this crowd didn't look like the first crowd of people. They looked different. They wore different clothes. They worshipped different ways. They were a very different people. And here is the miracle of the second feeding, is that the church fed all people. I mean, you got to wonder if this second crowd, they might not have even known how to sing the doxology. They might not have known the Lord's Prayer. They might not have belonged to the church. And here was the church feeding the second crowd. The miracle here is that God's work extends beyond the walls of the community of faith. Two feedings, two miracles. The miracle of abundant sharing. The miracle of radical hospitality. And here comes Jesus now getting done with these two feedings, these two miraculous bread moments. And the Pharisees come to have a word with him. And here's what the Pharisees say. The Pharisees say to him, the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. Jesus sighed deeply and said, why do you keep asking me for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given. You see what just happened? The Pharisees. Remember who the Pharisees are. In the Bible, the Pharisees are the church people. The Pharisees are the religious people. They're the insiders, the ones who are supposed to get it. And here, Jesus has just done these two miraculous feedings. Feeding of the 5,000 and then feeding of the 4,000 new people to the life of the community. And as soon as Jesus has done these two amazing miracles, the church people, the leaders, the elders, they come to him and say, hey man, when are you going to give us a sign? And Jesus is like, a sign? You want a sign? Didn't you just see what just happened? You want a sign? Come on. What more do we have to do? You could just feel Jesus sigh. What more can I do to tell the church this is what the church is supposed to be? You see, the church folks, the religious folks, missed the miracle. They missed the sign. They missed it because it didn't come in a way they expected it to come. It didn't come in the categories they expected it to come in. It didn't look like the way they had hoped or experienced church to be. And all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, look, it's happening. It's happening all around you. Don't miss the sign. Jesus says, you want a sign that God is still active in the world? That when hungry people get fed, it's a sign. When strangers are welcomed into the community, it's a sign. When people who've never broken bread together suddenly are breaking it together around the same table, it's the sign. When people move from scarcity to generosity, it's the sign. It's the sign that God is active in this world. Jesus says, no sign will be given, because the sign is all around you. Look and see the miracle of what's already happening. Stop waiting for the sign. Jesus says, be the sign. Be the sign. Be the proof that the faith we claim is real and alive in this world. Be the sign, Jesus says. And then Jesus jumps in the boat with his disciples and he says to them, don't be like the Pharisees. He jumps in the boat with his disciples and says, don't be like the church folk. Such a strange job to come here every Sunday to a room full of church folks and say to you, don't act like church folks. Act like those who follow Jesus out into the world, feeding those who need to be fed, calling community together around the table in a way that the world often misses. You see, but the disciples don't get it in the boat either. They turn to Jesus and they say, what? We only got one loaf. Is that the problem, Jesus? We don't have enough bread? We only got one loaf? What if that loaf isn't enough? And again, Jesus is like, what more do I have to do? Have you been watching this whole time and still not see? Have you been listening this whole time and still not hear? One loaf is enough. One loaf is all you need. One loaf, when given, will always be enough. Did you catch that Jesus asked them that question? Remember he said, when I fed the 5,000, how many baskets were left? They said 12. When I fed the 4,000, how many baskets were left? They said 7. Those two numbers, while lost on most of us, would have been the signal to those disciples about what was happening. You see, the number 12 was an important number in the religious mindset of the first century world. For those Hebrew people, for those Israelites, 12 was the number that represented God's chosen people. 12 tribes of Israel. 12 disciples. 12 is the number of what God's community is supposed to look like. So when the 12 baskets are left, it's a sign and a symbol that this is what the church is supposed to look like. When the church does what it's supposed to do, when it feeds hungry people, there'll always be more than enough left. And the 12 baskets is a symbol that says this is what the church looks like. How about when they feed the 7 or the 4,000 outsiders, the 4,000 other, the people who weren't a part of their community. How many baskets were left? Seven baskets were left. In the first century mind, the number seven was the perfect number. How many days of creation? 7 days. And on the last day, God says, oh, this is very, very good. Seven baskets, feeding new people, people who don't look like you or talk like you or speak like you or experience like you. There's no surprise when the church does that. There's baskets left over, that there's more than enough to share. Jesus says, don't miss it. The feedings that we did, it's a perfect symbol of what the church is supposed to look like. And when it extends its boundaries beyond itself, it looks like heaven on earth. One loaf, Jesus says to his disciples, when given in love and charity and community and hope, will always, always, always be enough. And there'll be enough left over for others. So I know what you're saying. You're saying, that's good preaching, preacher. They sure taught you well at that seminary of yours. You got all the religious stuff figured out. You don't really believe that, do you? I don't just believe it. I've seen it. It was while I was in Africa, in Ghana, on the west coast, in Kumasi, a place near and dear to my heart. It was there that I met a group of women who were outsiders. Their HIV status had separated them from the community. They no longer had a place to call home, or they no longer had a family that they could connect with. The church no longer could connect with the church. And these women became church for each other. And they began to share. When one of them would get sick and didn't have enough money, the women would all chip in order to pay for the medicine of the other. When somebody needed help with child care, all the women of the community would come together to take care of that sick child. When there wasn't enough food to be on the table, it was those women that came around and began to share with each other. And they're always was enough, even when there didn't seem like there could be enough. It was the church taking place outside the church. And unfortunately, sometimes the church didn't get it. What I love about Redford Aldersgate is that we're a church that tries to get it. We're a church that tries to get it right. We're a church that's trying all that we can do to make sure that our doors are open to wherever people find themselves on this journey called life. And every time that we get together, I find that more and more we believe in the power of the one loaf. One loaf, one humanity, one opportunity to be the people God has always asked us to be. One in the loaf.